Track 13. Unit 3. Listening 2. Part 3. Multiple choice.
With me today on InfoSpeak is journalist and writer Helena Drysdale. Hello, Helena, and welcome to the programme.
Thank you. Good morning.
Helena, you spent the last 2 years travelling around Europe doing research for a forthcoming book. What were you trying to find out?
Yes, we went in search of Europe's minority languages to determine exactly what state they're all in, particularly given today's climate of mass culture and so on. We travelled right up to northern Scandinavia and the Arctic Circle, where the Sami reindeer herders live, and we got down as far as Corsica and Sardinia in the sunny Mediterranean. Then there were the mountains of northern Italy, where Ladine is spoken, and we had a rather wet and rainy time in Brittany in the west of France with its Celtic Breton. 13 countries and 15 minor languages in all.
By us and we, you're referring to your family, of course.
Yes, my husband Richard and our two young children, Tallulah and Xanthi. Not forgetting the mob, of course, our trusty mobile home.
What was that like? 2 years together in a mobile home can't have been easy.
It's got a little cramped at times, particularly when the weather kept us in. The kids couldn't run around, they'd start playing up, tempers would overheat and everyone fell out. But apart from that, fine.
Yes, I can see. And how did you go about gathering your information? What were your sources?
I did some research in the library and on the internet after we came back, but the only real way to get the kind of information I was looking for was by actually talking to people. We met writers, teachers and artists who generally gave a more intellectual analysis of the situation, and we were able to balance that with the more down-to-earth, personalised accounts of people in the rural areas. That's where many of these languages are most frequently spoken, and also where people, particularly the older generation, seemed less reluctant to open up and give us their honest opinion.
And I imagine they had some very interesting stories to tell about the past.
Yes, indeed. For example, we often heard stories of punishments that people received for speaking their own language at school. One old lady in the south of France told us how she used to have to wear a stone or a stick round her neck if she was caught speaking Provençal. She had to keep it on until someone else committed the same offence, and then they'd have to wear it. And whoever had it at the end of the day was made to pay a fine or sometimes even beaten.
Hard to believe, really.
She's able to laugh about it now, but at the time it was considered deeply shaming to have to wear le symbole, as she called it. Sometimes it could be a wooden shoe or a pottery cow, which represented the country bumpkin, someone to be despised.
And were these punishments effective? Did they contribute to the decline of some of these languages?
Yes, they lowered the status of a language, but sometimes they helped to keep a language going, at least in the short term anyway. They caused resentment and made people more defiant towards the authorities. You know, it can be a bit like pruning a tree. If you cut it back, it grows much stronger. But there were, and still are, other more powerful forces which represent a much bigger threat to the survival of Europe's minority languages.
By that you mean globalisation, I presume?
That's right. And tourism. Now, although tourism can give a language status by attracting outside interest in it, it can also have a negative effect on local cultures. You know, in one place we visited, the natives moan about the influx of outsiders and how they buy up land at giveaway prices to build holiday cottages and how it's destroying their culture and so on. But then, the very same people are selling up their farms so they can run hotels or open souvenir shops. Understandable, perhaps, but they're encouraging the very thing they're complaining about.
Are languages like Sami and Provençal endangered species, then?
Well, I think it's true to say that if no positive action is taken, they'll simply die out. The problem is that some people are indifferent and even hostile to their own language. They think it's of no use in the modern world, which they so desperately want to be part of. Fortunately, though, there are enough people around who realise that to lose your mother tongue is like losing a part of yourself. Your language makes you who you are, and if you spoke a different language, you'd be a different person. But people on their own can only do so much. It really is up to the European Union to legislate to ensure the survival of minority languages.
And how exactly do you legislate to save a language?
Well, I think there are several things you can do. Firstly, of course, the EU would have to bring in...